Let's turn for our scripture reading this afternoon to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and also in the back of our Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 23. Lord's Day 23, that's page 30. First, we'll read from Romans chapter 5, the first five verses, and then the summary of the scriptural teaching found in Lord's Day 23. So Romans chapter 5, that's found on page 1093 in our pew Bibles, Romans 5, the first five verses. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And then in the back of our Psalter hymnals, page 30, Lord's Day 23, the question is asked, what good does it do you to believe all this? And this is referring to the Apostles' Creed as a summary of the Christian faith. So what good does it do you to believe the teachings in the Apostles' Creed? And the answer is, in Christ I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ, even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, and of never having kept any of them, and even though I'm still inclined towards all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? It is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me, because only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God, and I can only receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening we get to come to the heart of the gospel, which is perhaps one of the most beautiful teachings that we have to embrace in God's word, speaking to how we are saved or how we can be made right with God. How is it possible that we can come to a place of deliverance? What is necessary in order for us to be saved? And here at the end of the Apostles' Creed, we ask this most pertinent question, what do we benefit? What do we gain by believing all these things? Now, if you were to ask most people, what do we gain? What do we benefit? There are some who will teach that, well, becoming a Christian has specific gains, external gains that you can put your finger on. But we are not given a promise of prosperity. The gain that we have is not something that we can find in our bank accounts. But it's something that is better, something that lasts much longer than a few dollars. The question is, what good does it do us? What good does it do us? What do we gain in believing God's word and trusting in Jesus Christ? Is there gain that we have as being members of Christ, being people of faith? Is there benefit? Yes. Yes, there truly is, but it is not what most people expect. The gain cannot be seen with external eyes. It can only be perceived with the eyes of faith. So today we are going to consider this theme, that Jesus Christ grants us the right to become children of God. That Jesus grants us the right to become children of God. And along with Lord's Day 7, Lord's Day 7 defines faith. Here, Lord's Day 23 defines justification. How are you right with God? That's really justification. One of those big words that we learned once upon a time that have such deep and lasting importance that when you understand the heart of the gospel, you really understand what justification is. So we begin then by looking at our passage from Romans chapter 5. So we ask ourselves, what do we gain? What do we benefit? How do we prosper when we believe the scriptures and we believe in Jesus Christ? Romans 5 begins, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By believing, we are justified. Justified. Just as we sometimes remember, just as if we had never sinned, but just as if I was as perfectly righteous as Christ was in my place. Now, why is this such an important doctrine? Why is it so important for us to be justified? What is the need for justification? Well, without justification, we have to confess that we are at odds with God, that we are hostile towards God, we are enemies with God, and God with us. What is the need? Well, once we are outside, once we were strangers, aliens, but now we have been welcomed, embraced, and received. What is the alternative to justification? Well, the alternative to justification is condemnation. You see, if we are not justified, if we are not made right with God, then it stands to reason that God is not right with us. God is rather angry with us, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Truly fearful to face a God of wrath with no mediator and no hope of deliverance. We are born hostile to God, and God is hostile towards us because of our sins, and we deserve to be condemned. Without justification, no one will be right with God. Without justification, everyone will receive the due punishment that they deserve. To make the matter worse, we cannot make ourselves right with God. Justification is an act of God, because you and I cannot do anything to change our status in God's sight. This point separates us from every other religion and every false teaching. What can we do? Can we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps? Can we do something to soften God's anger with us? Can we do something to make God happy with us? Do we have the power in ourselves to please God? As fallen, sinful people, can we, by our own ability, make ourselves right with God? The Bible says no. Earlier in chapter 3 of Romans, there is no one righteous, no, not one. And if we would stand in God's presence, one of the qualifications is we must be righteous. We must be without stain. We must be pure. We must be perfect and holy in all our ways. But this is something that will not be found in fallen man. So the alternative is condemnation, and the outlook for man's ability is exceedingly bleak, because there is no hope, there is no ability, there is no power in man's hand to make himself right with God. But there is another. There is someone who is able to do what no man can do. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Remember I said a few minutes ago, although we can sometimes be scared by the term justification, really that's a longhand way of writing, of speaking about the gospel. First off, we have to confess we are sinners. There is nothing we, there's nothing you, there's nothing I can do to make myself right with God. And if God is the fount of all beauty and all glory and we want to dwell in eternal bliss with our Father in heaven, if that is our desire, we first confess, I can't do it. I can't bring myself to be right with God. That if God would enter into strict judgment with me, I would deserve, you would deserve nothing but condemnation. But there is another. There is Jesus. There is a mediator between God and man. There is one who is able to do what no other man could do, and that is take a fallen people, take a sin-filled, corrupt race, and bring them into the presence of his Father, present them to his Father, and his Father looks at them and sees them and doesn't see their sin, doesn't see their iniquity, but sees perfect, beautiful, righteous holiness. Justification is two parts. The first part is that my sin is given to Christ, and Christ's righteousness is given to me. We call that double imputation. My sins imputed to Christ, placed on his account, placed on his record, so that when Christ on the cross, the sins that he was bearing were my sins. He was being judged and condemned. God's wrath was being poured out upon him. My sins were what held Christ to the cross. My burden was on his shoulder. My sins imputed to him. That's the first part. The only way we can be right in God's presence, the only way we could stand in God's presence, is if my sins were atoned for and paid for. And that's what Christ did. Imputed to him. But there is another equally beautiful part, and that's Christ's perfect life, righteousness, and holiness are given to me. Look again at the catechism where it says this: God grants and credits to me. This is a question answer 60. God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Not only as if I had never sinned, not only are my sins being dealt with, but as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. We can say as Christians that when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. That when the Father looks at you, he sees the perfect life and obedience and holy living of Jesus Christ. Perhaps I can illustrate this for our younger generation. Children, it's not only that Jesus Christ, you know, let's picture there's a chalkboard up here or a whiteboard covered with a whole bunch of black marks. Those black marks are our sins. The first thing that Jesus does is he walks up to that whiteboard and he wipes those sins and he puts them, you know what happens if you rub your hand on a whiteboard, right? It gets on you, right? It's covered. That's what Jesus does. He walks up to the whiteboard, he takes them off the whiteboard and takes them on himself. He takes them to himself so that the whiteboard becomes white, clean. But that's only half the equation. Because Jesus comes with his other hand covered in blood, and puts it on there. And that blood turns that whiteboard to gold. The second aspect of this equation is that not only are my sins put on Christ, Christ takes his holiness by his Spirit and puts it on my account. This word imputation, it's kind of it's a legal term, it's a declaration, but it's, in our day-to-day living, it would be like a bank transfer. Not only is my debt taken off my account, given to someone else, and they pay for it, but not only is my loan written off, canceled, but there is a positive in imputation or crediting of my account for of infinite worth and value. So that the banker, when he now checks my bank account, no longer seeing that I have this outstanding loan, that loan is gone, paid for by someone else. And in the place of that huge debt, there is an abundance of riches. That's what it means for us to be justified. That when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner, he sees his Son. God grants and credits to me so that I can say my sins are forgiven and paid for, and I am now accepted in my Father's sight. So that back to our passage in Romans chapter 5, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God, that shalom, that not only absence of hostility, but access, promise of blessing. Having peace with God, what an extraordinary sentence, what an extraordinary truth. That God looks upon me with kindness and pours out blessings upon my head. As Romans 5 then continues, not only do we enjoy justification, peace with God, but we also have access. We've gained access to God. You see, before we were justified, we didn't have access. We didn't have access. The way was barred. The way was shut. No entrance. Because my sin cannot be in God's presence. A sinner cannot stand in God's presence without being consumed. But now through Jesus Christ, we have access. And the Father says to us as children, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. But there is one more benefit and blessing that our passage speaks about. This is in verse 2. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That hope, the glory of God, is echoed in question answer 59, that I am in Christ, I am right with God, an heir to life everlasting. We have gone from alien, stranger, hostile, cast out, separated, barred, in line for judgment and condemnation, to now righteous, holy, accepted, granted access, and promised glory and life everlasting. The contrast couldn't be any sharper. And that's what is our inheritance through Jesus Christ. That's what we gain through Jesus. That's the beauty of this little word called justification. That's the beauty of the gospel. That we now have the promise of life everlasting, not only enjoying the benefits in this life, but in the life to come. Our passage from John 3, verse 36 says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And since justification is a work of God, that means it cannot be undone, and his plans and purposes cannot be frustrated. Those who are justified, those who are accepted by God, will never be turned away. Those who the Father places in the hand of the Son will be secured. My justification does not hinge on my ability, does not hinge on my works. isn't dependent on my feelings, isn't dependent on anything that I do. It is a legal declaration where the Father says, because of the Son, you are now accepted in my sight. You are now my beloved. I love you. And I will pour my blessings upon you. What hope. What a beauty. Beautiful Savior that we serve. What a wonderful truth. But as question and answer 60 says, even though my conscience accuses me, even though I grievously sinned against all God's commandments, I've never kept any of them, and even though I'm still inclined toward all sin and all evil, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never been a sinner, never sinned, but as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. Well, now that we've considered a few of those beautiful jewels in the crown of justification, our second point continues to consider how it is we can receive these benefits, how we can gain access to them. If that's what justification means, how can we be justified? Well, Romans 5 verse 1 says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." We read earlier from John 3, verse 36, "Whoever believes has eternal life." So the way in which we enjoy, the way in which we experience, the way in which we receive these benefits and blessings is by faith. Those solas of the Reformation, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But is faith a work? If it is true that the righteous live by faith, as Habakkuk 2 verse 4 says, that by faith we are justified, is faith something, some work, which we are able to do? Have we in the first point said that it's all of grace, it's all of God, and then our second point comes back with faith? Well, faith is something you have to do. So the benefits that are promised on this hand are only ours if we have to work for them. Is that what we are saying here? What is faith? Well, faith is a belief, faith is a trust, faith is a reliance, but where does faith come from? Is faith a work? Look again at question and answer 61. It's not because of any value that my faith has that God is pleased with me. I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. Faith has an instrumental purpose. The illustration of faith is that it is an open hand that receives what is placed in it. But how can a dead sinner open their hands? Right? We're dead in our sins, but we're called to grasp, we're called to hold, we're called to receive. But I'm dead. Dead hands cannot grasp. Dead hands cannot receive. So where does faith come from? Faith is a work of God. Faith is a work of the Holy Spirit produced in my heart, whereby the Spirit I am enabled, given the ability to embrace and to hold what is placed in my hands. So from beginning to end, we see that justification and faith are both gifts of God. That when we are commanded to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing, trusting, relying on Christ is something that only those who have the Spirit within them, giving them the ability to do, will be able to perform. Because faith by itself, faith from the human perspective, has no merit and no value, it says. My value, if we're talking about value and merit and deserving something, my faith is not deserving anything. Because what is faith? Faith is like an empty cup that holds riches. Well, the value is not the cup, is it? Or to change the illustration, if faith is like a pipeline, a conduit, through which grace and blessings and righteousness flow, it's not the value of the conduit, it's not the value of the pipeline, but what's in it. So it is for our salvation. As Belgic Confession 22 says, the Holy Spirit produces faith in my heart, by which I embrace Christ with all his merits, appropriates him, grasping him, receiving him, and seeking nothing beyond him. So although faith is necessary, faith is not a work either. Faith is also a gift of God, produced in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But what is our faith in? Where is the value here? If it's not the value of my faith, where is the worth? Where is the riches? Look back again to Romans chapter 5. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Through, in, by way of Christ. Through him. Any sermon on justification which puts faith before Christ has put the cup before the riches in the cup. Is faith necessary? Absolutely. Is faith something we can do by our own strength? No. But it is necessary? Yes. Well, where does faith come from? By the Holy Spirit. But is that faith in and of itself going to save us? Or does that faith need to be placed in someone who saves us? Blind faith, faith in faith itself, is an empty faith that has no worth, no merit, and does no good. True and living faith is a faith in Jesus Christ that trusts him alone for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. So God not only demands and commands faith, he by the Spirit produces faith within, and by that faith produced within, we are enabled to grasp what is placed in our hands. We hold on to Christ. When the Bible speaks about faith, listen to a few of the ways in which action or what faith is looks like in our lives. The Bible says that faith receives in the hand and looks to Christ alone. That faith comes to Christ, believes his word. Faith flees to Christ and finds refuge in him. Faith rests on Christ. It clings to Christ. Faith trusts, faith hopes, waits on Christ. Faith is the way in which we hold on to the hand that is holding us. The only worth, the only value that faith has is because it is faith in the one whom we believe in. It is Christ who is our merit. It is Christ who is our righteousness. As looking again at 61 says, only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness can make me right with God. To conclude, we began this sermon by looking at the benefit. Question and answer 59. What good, what do you benefit, what do you gain when you believe what the Bible says and you trust in Jesus Christ? Well, true faith says that I'm lost, says that I'm dead, but trust that Christ finds and makes alive. True faith depends on Christ alone. And in depending on Christ alone, finds life and life everlasting. What do we gain? We gain access. What do we gain? We gain an inheritance. What do we gain? We gain peace with God. So when the Father looks at you, if you trust in his Son, when the Father looks at you, he sees his Son. That's the beauty of justification. When the Father looks at you, he doesn't see your sins. He doesn't see your iniquity. He doesn't see your past failures. He sees your Son. He sees his Son. And he sees you as his Son. So if God justifies us, who is it that will condemn? So we raise that Reformed anthem. We embrace the words of Romans and Ephesians. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I know these gifts are mine because I belong to Christ, and he has saved me from all my sins. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this rich blessing that we have through Jesus Christ, that in Christ, that we are considered, that we are declared to be your children. We thank you for the rich blessings we have, that our sins are taken on his shoulders, that his righteousness was placed on our account, so that when you look at us, you see your children. Stir our hearts so that we would embrace this as true, that we would embrace your Son by your Spirit, and we would delight in the riches that we have through his precious blood. In his name we pray. Amen.